Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Life in Your Show podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo, and on the Life in Your Show, we help people make more, work less, and live amazing, abundant, prosperous, incredible lives. We're going to do a legacy episode. Now, occasionally, we love to throw these in. We review our previous podcasts that were the most often listened to, the most often rated and reviewed and shared. And so these are the hot ones, the ones that people really, really enjoyed. And so we find these and we share them again for your benefit. Maybe you missed it the first time. Maybe you're a new listener or viewer and you didn't have a chance to listen to this. So this is a chance for you to get some of the gold nuggets that we have previously done so that you don't miss out. Let's jump into it right now. Here's our legacy episode. Enjoy. We are going to talk with Jackie Conkle, who just one of my favorite people on earth. She's awesome. Her and I started in Life in Air together back way back in the day, and an awesome story. But what also is really cool is she's a Life in Air coach now. And Jackie, how long have you been a coach now, actually, by the way?
This is going into year six.
6 years. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Time flies.
So tell people, like, so first of all, like, rewind us back to, like, when you first joined Life in Air and when I first met you. Like, where were you in life? Where were you in business? And what did things kind of look like?
We were kind of in the same spot, weren't we, Wojo? I think I had more debt than you, though. I had more debt, for sure. Yeah. Okay. So take me all the way back. Before joining the Life in Air coaching program, I had met Steve Cook because he came into our RIA and spoke. And my husband and I said, we're not bringing any checkbook in. We're not going to do anything. Whatever he's selling, we're not buying it. Right. But we had spent, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on all these different TV people who came into town selling their wares on real estate. And we were investing in real estate. Well, we weren't quite investing yet, but we were wanting to. I had some rental property, but that was it. We really wanted to flip houses. And Steve Cook came to town. What he was talking about was pretty awesome. What he sold was pretty inexpensive compared to the tens of thousands of dollars we spent. So we bought his programs and we moved forward and started buying properties and started flipping properties. And then he was holding some special events and we would fly out to go, like, what's working now and real estate this year, whatever it was. And then he had one called The Secret Sauce, and we went to that one in Chicago, and that was what Life in Air was before it was called Life in Air. So we kind of got to see some of the ideas about Life in Air. And Brett and I were in a ton of debt. Most of it was mine, and he married it, so it became his. I owed.
Did he know this, or did it was
he knew this full well? Yeah. He knew what he was marrying. Married it anyway. But yeah, I had a lot of debt from trying a lot of businesses and failing, and from all the money we spent, you know, trying to get real estate off the ground, things like that. But also, I owed the IRS a bunch of money, and of course, that also became his. So we were at a point when we joined Life in Air where we didn't have any credit. Like, literally couldn't get any credit because there was a federal tax lien against us, which means nobody will give you money for anything. All of our credit cards were pretty much maxed. Every once in a while, you know, we'd pay a little bit here so we could use this card to pay that card and still charge something. It was kind of a mess. And honestly, the interest and the penalties, the late fees, all that kind of stuff was what was eating up what was left of the credit we had left on each card. We had a business, but it wasn't a super big or strong business because we were moving into flipping houses. So we were letting that business die. And, I don't know what else, like, we were just really trying to figure it out.
Now, you were kind of, if I remember correctly, would you consider yourself an entrepreneur? Like, you had the different ideas and you had all these different things you were doing and, like, kind of like
no fault, right? Yeah. I started so many businesses. I had gotten involved in all kinds of MLMs and I had some success at a little level of success in the last one that I shut down after joining Life in Air. But yeah, the business that we had currently been in was called Tapless Sandals. So they're just, it's like the bottom of a flip flop. They stick to the bottom of your feet. There's nothing between your toes. And what do you probably remember that from our retreats? And everybody was like, listen, you're doing the sandals or you're doing the real estate. What are you doing? And they made me sell that business, which was fine because it was very confusing. I never knew who was going to be on the other end of the line when I answered my phone, if they wanted to buy 1,000 sandals for their shop or if I was, you know, buying a house. So it helped me clean up my voicemail and be very delineated in what I was doing.
But yeah, I had started and failed in so many businesses, and the ones that made it didn't make enough to survive on, and just throwing a lot of money against the wall in a lot of different things. But I'm one of those people who's quick to cut bait. So, throwing all the money after it, if it wasn't producing, I was always willing and ready when the time showed the opportunity to just say, okay, that's not working, and take an about face and go a different direction. What I find with a lot of our members today in our coaching program is that a lot of people hold on way too long. It's kind of like they continue to throw good money after bad. And I feel like that has made me be a better coach, because I've had so many of those opportunities in life that no one can tell me that theirs is different, because I've done it so many times where I've thrown a bunch of money at something, a lot of time. You know, I invested learning. I had sacrifice away from what I'd rather be doing or spending my money on. And so I've done the sacrificing of time and money putting into things. And still, when it's shown to me that that isn't where it's at anymore, I need to turn away. I've always turned away and said, okay, I know I spent a lot of time and money, but that is, I can't get it back by trying to make this work. It is not going to work. You just got to stop and go figure out something else. And I did that over and over. Yeah. So that quote unquote serial entrepreneur. Yeah.
So talk to me about two aspects of that I think is really valuable for people to understand. One is, like, how do you actually choose what it is you want to do? Or what are some of the suggestions you usually give people, your members, your students, if they're weighing multiple options? That'd be one thing. And the second thing, which I'm fascinated by, because I agree with you, I see a lot of people hold on way too long as well.
Yeah.
Is how do you know when to cut bait? Like, how are there any, is it a date thing? Is it a metric thing? Is it a gut feeling? Is it, like, because these arguably are two of the most important questions that people have to answer when it comes to entrepreneurship and business. And you've been successful at it. So what are some of the lessons you could maybe unpack for some people who are experiencing this now or in the future may encounter this?
Yeah. So as far as cutting it off, I forgot the first question. How do you know?
Oh, how did I have to choose? Like, you had all the bitches and you had to get it down to one. And like, how did you eliminate all the other ones? Like, how did you decide which ones to let go?
Well, it's easier today, right? Because it's called vision. If you have a written vision, you know, my favorite saying is that your vision gives you permission to say no. Right. So if something just doesn't fit the vision, if you're going to have to pour way too much time or too much money or time with people you don't want to spend time with or in a location you don't want to be, you know, fill in the blank. If it goes against your vision, that makes it easy to say this isn't it. If it's in line with your vision, obviously easy to say this fits what I'm looking for. Even your ethics. You know, if it's a business that could bring in lots of money, but it's in an area where you ethically wouldn't generally participate. So you're against drinking, you're not going to open a bar, you know.
Well, Peter was offered a position as a pole dancer.
Yeah, he couldn't do that.
Listen, talk about ethics. Talk about ethics that I start questioning. I am talking with you here. So, I mean, that's a questionable thing that I need to prepare too.
But did anybody?
Spending time with who you associate it with.
Let's not go into the conversation about somebody being a pole dancer.
Hold on. But I hope everybody got that, because you're Polish, Peter.
Yes, I am Polish. Yes.
He's a Polish dancer. That's right.
And actually was a Polish dancer.
So you back in the dancer. You were a pole dancer, bro.
Yes. No, Polish dancer, okay? But let's talk about a squirrel, okay?
I would like the audience to type in the chat how I'm supposed to deal with this right now.
All right.
Too fun.
Okay, so continue, Jackie, before the senseless, like, nonsense.
Yeah, so when you said, like, how do you decide what to cut? And you started going through, you know, is it metrics? Is it time invested? You know, and you got to gut. I think it's gut, you know, because it's kind of all of the above. But I've never been one to, like, I don't do the statistics. I'm definitely not Dr. Wojo. I don't, like, lay out all of the numbers and metrics and statistics. As you guys know, before we got this started, I couldn't even make the tech work so that I could have headphones today. So I'm on my phone instead of my computer. I can't do those things, but that's okay, because I can still survive in life. And so there's news for everyone out there that, you know, is technically challenged. You can still be successful. But I think really it's a gut check. It's knowing that you went you should be here by now and you're not. Or I should feel this about it and I don't. Like, it's just not fulfilling what I needed it to fulfill, or it's not providing income. It's taking too much time. You know, I also have a very strong faith base. There's a great book out there, Henry Blackaby. I forgot the co-author, but it's called Experiencing God. And one of the things he says in there is that if God is along with it, like if you were supposed to do it, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'll pray about it and I'll see what I'm supposed to do. And it's like, if you start something and it's just you're hitting wall after wall after wall and you just can't make it work, and you've already laid down the reins and said, God, like, show me what I'm supposed to do here. If it's that difficult, then it wasn't from him. It wasn't something you were supposed to do. If you're a person who brings God into things, right? Now, if it's easy and doors are opening and like the path is just pretty light, his yoke is easy, right? That means he's along in it, and you have that partner and you're in congruency with what you're supposed to be doing. So I know that a lot of that happens for me too. You know, and Life in Air coaching comes along to that. It's something that it just comes and it fulfills, and it's quote unquote easy, right? I mean, everything's got to have a little challenge to it, but it's something that you enjoy. And that some days I walk out of a call or a sit down with one of our members and I'm like, wow, like that really went well. Like, it started out and I didn't know where we were going to take it. And like, none of that even came from me. Like, I have no idea what I even said, but look at how the day turned around. And it's just really cool. So I know I'm supposed to be doing that, right? Like this, and I enjoy it and it works out well and the bumps are nothing. So some of the things that I got into were because I just wanted to get into them, right? Like, I thought I could make money, or I thought I was going to be this or that, or have this or have that, or get to a level, you know. That was the old me. And that was just trying to be in control, trying to focus on the dollar. You know, those were the things that never succeeded. Yeah. Yeah. From that point of ego, you do a lot of training on those things, Peter. And so you can probably see that that's what that was, you know. And these days, it's just a lot easier. Now it's more cutting, you know, how can I get to that core of my vision? What else? You know, what else can I cut out so that I'm open and available for the opportunity when something comes along that I'm supposed to do? But yeah, prior to Life in Air, like, it was financially messy, and it was like really messy in almost all the categories, right? Because I didn't have the time because I was chasing the money, and I didn't have the money because I was chasing the money and throwing good money after bad. Although, I cut a lot of bait, but yeah. And did that make sense, or did I talk in a circle?
Yeah, totally, totally. And so, well, one thing I want to kind of also kind of get your take on is, like, you know, I also see people, like when you mentioned it, you know, it should be easy and you should have some sort of, you know, some sensation of doors opening and things aligning. I think there's a degree of caution perhaps as well to accompany that, because, you know, if you listen to, like, in real estate, for instance, like, we're very much parlayed this message of, like, you know, it's going to be easier to make $10,000 a week by, you know, Saturday. And like, it's just, it's going to be no effort, no work. And it's, you can make underwear money,
yeah,
and, you know, go in your mailbox. So how do you kind of temper that? How do you know what an appropriate degree of effort is and what, you know, what to expect? Because I also, because sometimes I see people get in the business and they have a misunderstanding of what it's supposed to be.
Either almost everyone.
Yeah, right. So yeah, how do you see that? How do you kind of, like, how do you find that?
Yeah, so I think it's redefining the word easy, right? Mm. Easy can mean simple. Easy can mean smooth. You know, easy can mean different things. I don't mean that you sit back. I have busted my butt to get where I am today. And I work very hard as a Life in Air coach as well. So it doesn't mean that you won't hit challenges. It doesn't mean that you won't have to work for it. It just means that you won't constantly be failing. You won't constantly be running into brick walls. You're going to run into a hurdle, but it's a hurdle you can get over. It's not going to be a complete wall where you have to turn around and find a whole new direction. Every single turn you take is hitting the wall. Those are my clear signs that this isn't easy. Easy means I hit a hurdle, but I can get over it and I just grew through it. That's what easy means to me. Peter, did you have something?
Well, yeah, the other thing I'm hearing from you, Jackie, I think is that you know, it's hard work, let's say, right? But it's some flow to it, right? You feel like you're in the flow, right?
Yes.
It can be hard, can be tough work, but you're in the flow. I think that's a good sign that what you're saying about easy kind of thing.
You're moving forward, right? And that's the thing is, if you put forth the work and the effort, that there's a result, right? That there's not a constant failure at the end of every time you aspire, that it doesn't instantly hit the wall and fail. So easy to me means I work and I get a result. I continue to work, I get more growth. I get another result. You know, if I'm just constantly hitting the wall and failing and nothing grows, nothing's building, the business isn't moving forward, that's when it's not easy. That's what I mean by easy, I guess. So thank you for calling that out because that's important. I mean, nothing that's worth it is just a breeze. Nothing other than scratching off a lottery and winning. There really isn't anything that's worth it that you won't have to put forth some effort, time, money, learning, whatever it is. You do need to grow into success. You're never going to sign up for anything that's just going to happen. There's nothing you're going to, you know, no business you're going to open the front door, even a turnkey one that was previously built. See how fast you can run it in the ground if you don't put any work into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, and so I really appreciate you unpacking that because, like, you know, I don't, if anything, this is going to sound very anti-life-and-air-ish for a second if you don't understand really what life and air is all about, is like, I would say I work harder now than I ever have, but I've learned to really temper my efforts and focus them in those, in very, and when I say hard, what I mean is like within my vision parameters. Yeah. And so I've realized like my aspirations and my goals and everything I want to accomplish have grown quite a bit. But to me, I still want to accomplish those things while still, you know, when my kids are home from school, like I'm with the family. And so, but I've learned to kind of really focus and double down and work hard during those work hours that I have available. Now it is like for yourself as well, for Peter, like it's very limited hours. Like, so for instance, like we all have, you know, the life first philosophy, which keeps us kind of reined in and gives us those borders and those you know, the bumpers for our day. But yeah, I just wanted to really make sure like people understood. It's not that everything just flows to you and like you can sit back and like kind of like, you know, it's just, that's not reality.
It's not.
Hey, we'll get right back to our episode. But before we do, I want to tell you about something that will change your life when you choose to attend. And what I'm referring to is our Get a Life Getaway. This is a 3-day immersive training that Peter and I teach. And we walk you through the blueprint of how to create the detailed plan for the life you've always dreamed about. Peter, tell them what the event's like.
Yeah, so it is very personalized to you. You get to work on your own life. You let go of all the past hurts, and you actually get to create your life vision, create the life that you truly want. So how would they go about doing that, Bojo?
Dude, go to lifeandair.com, and you will see a tab for upcoming events. Click on the link. You'll read a description of the event, and then we will see you at the event itself. We do these all over the country. We do several per year, also virtually as well. And we would love to be there and walk you through this process to help you create the dream life you've always wanted. Let's get back to the episode.
But what you just said too, you just preempted that with like, what I'm going to say might sound a little against Life and Air. And you know, it kind of bothers me that people think Life and Airs are just like, da, 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 da. Like,
yeah, right,
we're
right.
Just like floating on a breeze. No one ever said that Life and Air is don't work or don't work hard or don't go after anything. That's not Life and Air at all. Life and Air just is being intentional. Being intentional about your life. Like you said, you set up the calendar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still allowed to work. We're still allowed to work hard. We're still allowed to have what we want to have. It's just being intentional and being aware of how are we spending it and what is the opportunity cost? What did we give up to do this or to get that or to go there? Did we have to give up all the time with our kids to build a business? Is that your vision? If it's not, fix it, right? That's what it's about. And so I appreciate how you laid that out.
Well, you know, one thing that you said there I want to touch on and double click is like opportunity costs. I think Life and Airs are very, very acutely aware of opportunity costs, whereas yeah, that can be an underappreciated or completely unappreciated aspect of like how we run our days and how we schedule things and how the way we conduct our business. And so for those of you who aren't, if you're not familiar with the term opportunity cost, it basically refers to the either the hidden unappreciated cost or the absolute obvious cost of doing one thing over another. So like if I have a test tomorrow, and I'm invited to a party and I don't go to the party, my opportunity cost is the fun I would have had at the party, but I've decided to exchange that for a better grade on my test. And so when you're working, you're saying no to those other things that you could be doing, like going to the gym or scrolling or whatever that is for you. And so it's really this deliberate choice. You use the word intentional, this intentional choice of making sure you are choosing the things that are in the highest alignment with your vision.
Yeah, we like to remind our members that whenever you say yes to something, you literally just said no to everything else. So if you had five invitations for Saturday night, whatever you said yes to, you just said no to the other four opportunities of things to do. So it's the same in all of the time you have in your life. Every minute that you count for, everything you said yes to, you said no to all the other things you could be doing.
But can't I just, get an account and drive to all these different parties, throughout
the
whole night?
Yeah, sure. Just think. Sounds like you won't have fun at any of them.
Well, see, that's how, but I think that's how people think a lot in life, right?
Yep. Good point.
It's like, I can do all these different things. And then guess what? You basically, like you just said, you don't have fun on any of them because you're like, get in there, say hi, and you have to leave.
Exactly. Life,
different things. You don't actually get to fully enjoy, actually culminate what you're trying to accomplish here if you have five different things that you're trying to accomplish.
That falls right into the box of people who have fooled themselves enough to think they can multitask. You really can only function on the one thing or focus on the one thing, and everything else is kind of, and if you're trying to focus on a bunch of things, that's not the definition of focus, and it is, none of them are successful. Yet people still have this idea that they can do it.
We're like, the opportunity cost topic really, I think, is under, and it seems obvious when you talk about like work versus personal life, but even if you look at work individually, when you spend time, designing a marketing campaign, that is time that you cannot be on the phone for customer service. And so you always got to choose, whether it's work or personal life, have health or, you're in the gym and you're doing, you're choosing to do one exercise over another, like, you're directly impacting the results you're going to get. And so that's true in every, if you're spending your evening on the couch with your spouse watching TV versus across the table from each other over a romantic dinner, like that's an opportunity cost. And so like every single thing you have to, I believe you like, you're high.
You can sleep in or you can get up and go work out. You can eat food or you can eat healthy food.
It's totally true. It's the same exact principle, just shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I think this is where Life and Airs, I think, are really good at this and like maximizing the ROI.
Yes.
And the return on investment, like the investment is the thing that you are choosing to do to make sure you get the best output for it.
And I want to clarify something. I think the reason for that is because there was a why behind it.
Yeah.
I think that's sure. What this, that's a deciding factor of, do I sleep in or do I sleep or do I not sleep? Those kinds of things.
Yeah. I think that would be the difference between a Life and Air and somebody who's never been exposed to what Life and Airs do, and that would be the vision and the why. When you create your life, what your ideal life should look like, and you put that vision together, you write it down, you focus on it, you edit it. It's a living, breathing document, right? That's what we say. And then you create your action steps from that so you can grow your life to the point where it looks like the ideal life you just planned for yourself. But you also have that driving why behind it, right? And the why is, you're working on your vision in the area of health and you put all these things down that looks like your ideal life, but you have to really want that to be able to give up the chips and eat a carrot instead, or whatever it might be, to give up some sleeping in and get up and go to the gym or to, whatever it is, but changing your health goals, you can write it down and you can say, this is what I want. But those action steps are the part where it gets hard, right? Yeah. To actually do the things to move yourself forward you know, whether it's friends, family, needs, wants, spiritual, charitable, all the different areas of our vision. And that's before we even get to business. But designing all those things and figuring out what are the action steps I have to take to get from where I am today to where my ideal life says I am. What are those things I have to do? Well, if I'm fit in my ideal life and I'm fat right now, I have to figure out how to get from fat to fit. And those are going to be my action steps. My why is the reason why I actually keep doing them. So my why gets me to that ideal life. And if I don't have a strong enough why, and I can't tell you how many members I've sat down with, and they're like, I want this. And I'm like, you don't want this. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Because the last three times you and I sat down, you're still complaining about these action steps. You're not doing them. Your why's not strong enough. You don't actually want this. You just want to want this. There's a difference between wanting something and wanting to want it. You want what the world wants, but you don't actually want it. You're perfectly fine not having that. You think you're supposed to want that, or you kind of want to want that, but you're not to the point yet. Your why's not strong enough to drive you to actually want it. So you're just going to be fat until you figure out everything else that's going on around it. And Peter can tell you there could be mindset. There could be all different facets in there. But that why is not driving the action steps. I just completed a fast. My goal was 84 hours. But as I went through it, and I, if anybody's against fasting, write me a letter later. Too bad. the body can survive 3 weeks without food, but only what, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without air. It's fine. I went without food. I had plenty of water. And at that hour, I was like, I need to do this longer. You guys, I made it 141 hours before I finally ate. And, yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Peter, what's your longest one?
117. 117.
She just smoked you, bro.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even try to, but it was like day two is always really hard for me. Day three is like getting over it. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, 4, 5, and 6, breeze.
Yep.
Is nothing. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was addicted to it, and I like I had to eat because my husband thought I might die, but I'm fine.
And up with my wife.
Like, watch me. I'm cooking food. I'm going to eat right now. And I also ate just because I missed food. So like, oh man, I'm cooking for everybody and the house smells good. But the point is, I had a really strong why. And when you're starving and there's food all around you and you're cooking for your family and all you got to do is take a taste. There's a driver that says, I know you want that. I know you're hungry. It smells really good, but you're not going to do it. And this is why. When your why for anything else in life is as strong as that reason why, and this isn't the podcast for my reasons, but when your why for anything else is so strong that you can on day 6 still not take a bite, that's when you know you really want it. You've got the why and it's going to drive you to that point. And I think that is also something that Life and Airs definitely work on. I mean, between the vision and the why, that's how we get the results. And everybody looks at all these members of, you know, the coaching and Life and Airs like, man, I didn't even know. This doesn't even look like the same person I knew 2 years ago. How did you do that? Well, it wasn't overnight. We wrote a vision. We focused on it. We created action steps and we had accountability. The accountability helps us do the thing we said we wanted to do when it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It coaching and accountability gets you through the points where it's hard. So again, it's easy, but it's not that definition of easy. You still got to work on it. You got to focus on it. You have to focus on the why. You have to drive through the hard points and get over the hurdles. But yeah, you're not running into the walls.
I think the better word maybe for, because people might be confusing, it's simple, right? There isn't like it's crazy, you know, secret sauce kind of a thing, even though it's what it was called at the beginning, right? Yeah. But it's simple, right?
I mean, yeah. Write the vision, formulate your why, and have a group of people around you cheering for you and picking you up when you fall.
And you take action.
And that's where, like, I don't think, you know, there's no magic to this. There's no mystery to it. Like, we're very clear with everybody, like, how Life and Air works and how we help people. And it really does come down to those things. It's like, hey, let's help you figure out very clearly, very concretely what you really want, not what you want to want, like you said. Let's put together the action plan. We're there to support you, to give you feedback and support during the plan, hold your hand. you know, pick you up when you fall off the wagon. Because there's, like you said, it's even with help, with support, doing all the right things, there still will be challenges, there still will be obstacles. And we just keep you going until you accomplish that. And like, mm-hmm. and we're not going to let you settle for less than you have in your vision.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
So listen, I got one last question for you. Somebody's listening to this podcast episode right now, listening to you talk, and you know, you're a coach and you've been through a lot and helped a lot of people. And what would you say to them? They're listening to the podcast and they're like, you know what? No, I'm struggling right now. I'm trying to figure this out. Sort of like where you were back then. You know, how you get out of it? What would you say to them? One thing that you would say to them?
How to get out of it and move forward. I think the first key is to really write down all your options. The best thing is to get it out of your mind and onto paper or a screen, however you work best. But I feel like you need to like lay out everything. Like, where am I? Where do I want to be? And what's everything in between? Good and bad, right? And then you need to figure out what you need to cut from life. And I mean, I've coached a lot of people through this and gotten them to let go of things that they could not let go of. You know, things, people, jobs, businesses, doodads, whatever it is, debts. Sometimes there's just so much stuff in our way that we're dealing with that if we could just stop dealing with it, we could finally focus on what's life. And life is so short, you know, to sit there and continue trying to put a square peg in a round hole is pointless. Just go find a square hole.
Yeah, right.
Or a round pig.
bring this full circle for us. Tell us what life kind of looks like for you now. You started off telling us about the debt and all the businesses and running up. You know, what does that look like now? What's like, what is life and business look like for you?
Yeah, and in the process, you know, when we started with life in here, and I say this all the time. There's three ways to get ahead, right? Financially, anyways, is you can spend less, you can make more, or you can sell some stuff, you know? So you have to spend less, you have to make more. And in order to pay off some of the debts, sometimes you have to go backwards a little bit and get rid of some things. So we did those. We sold our sandals business and focused everything we had on one business, because Peter will tell you where focus goes, focus goes, energy flows, right? And so we focused on the one thing.
That's it right there. Focus.
Oh, is it behind you? You guys are so tiny on my phone. I can't see it. So we did those things and we started really focusing on our real estate business. We laid out, like I just said, we brainstormed all the different marketing things, all the stuff we could do to move that business forward, not being able to spend money, right? We had to figure out things that were cheap or free because we didn't have money and we didn't have credit. So we had to build a real estate business on a shoestring. And so we laid all those things out and then we went and put those things into action. And it eventually just started to grow. We started to pay off the debts. You know, today, everything we have except for our home, we own outright, free and clear. We have like 6 years left paying our mortgage on our home. But all of our vehicles and toys and everything else, we own debt free, which, you know, again, people are like, oh, those life and heirs, they're just all against debt. And it's like, listen, you have to live within where you're comfortable. And I mean, everything could fall apart tomorrow. And I know I'm okay. Because I'm not balancing right on the teetering edge of not being able to make my bills. You know, I could pay off my house today. I don't want to because I take that money and invest it. So again, it's the value, it's the opportunity cost of where I put it, but it's also the time value of money, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, today it's good.
How you spend your time? Like, what do you?
It sounds horrible because I do whatever I want. Like, I don't work very much. And I know that sounds really bad to a lot of people because they're like, oh, but you got to work. But, you know, in stage four, you have income producing assets that pay for your life. And, you know, the work I do is when I want to work, you know. Brett gets a little more bored than I do. So like he's a man, right? He needs to have his hands going. Like I can sit and read the Bible and dig into scripture. And he's just like, oh my gosh, I have to go do something. Like I got to get busy.
Right.
So he's going to go build a new house just for something to do. You know, that's in his wheelhouse. I mean, he's a contractor. He can build new construction and everything, but we don't even care if it makes money or not. He just needs to get out of the house and he's actually going to do some of the work just to have something to do and get in there and have some grindage. Right. But again, his vision is like, when I want to work, I'm going to work. He golfs so much in summer that last summer he said he needed a break. He was golfing too much. I never heard that come out of his mouth before. But mark his words, 2024, he said those words. And I was like, whoa, who am I looking at right now? So yeah, my summer is spent in the pool. You know, I hang out with people I want to hang out. If we want to leave town, we leave town. You know, I had all this opportunity to spend gobs and gobs of time with my dad. He passed right before Christmas, and I didn't have regret. You know, I got to say everything I wanted to say to him. I got to share everything I wanted to share with him. I got to hear from him. I got to just sit with him and say nothing. You know, I got to hang out. I got to be at the hospital every time he ended up there. And with the past life of like just having to constantly be at it, I wasn't set up to be able to do that. And I'll tell you, my brother and sister didn't get to do that. You know, and my sister uses mean words like, well, some of us have a real job. I'm like, sorry for you. You know, you have a real job. You have to work 60 hours a week and still not make ends meet just because of the lifestyle she set up for herself.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those opportunities are priceless, especially when it comes to loved ones. Yeah. Jackie, you're awesome. I know you're an inspiration to all of our viewers and listeners. Listen, guys, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Tell us that you like the show. This helps us reach more people. Share it or even give it a subscribe. We'd love to have either one of those three options. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you, Jackie, for being on Life in Our Show, and we'll see you next week, everyone.
Pleasure.
Take care.
See you guys.